You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What is Jesus up to now? He's proclaiming the grace and glory of God through ordinary people like ourselves.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
With the access we have to your heart in your Son, Jesus Christ, help us to live by your forgiveness, to love one another sincerely, and to pray as readily as we breathe, all through Jesus Christ, who urged us to pray in his name. Amen. A little boy asked the question, "What is Jesus up to now?" It is a good question, coming from someone who is absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ is not dead and gone, but alive and doing. Some older people might object to the question of that little boy, not because it is inappropriate, but because they themselves don't take the Lord's resurrection seriously enough to be convinced that he's up to anything at all. They respect him as a religious figure, but they don't really believe in him. This next week, some Christians throughout the world will celebrate the Festival of the Ascension, remembering the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Actually, most Christian people will not remember that Thursday of this next week is Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter and the resurrection of the Lord. The festival is not popularly observed, either because people don't remember or because they really don't care. I've always been amazed that people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ pay little or no attention to the fact of his ascension into heaven. Some of them seem to resent it, as if they had been robbed of his living presence by his ascension. Others pay little or no attention because it does not mean anything to them. I'm here to say that the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven means everything. This is the final act of his redemption of the world. It is the final disclosure to the world of his lordship, that he might fill all things. It is the guarantee of salvation to people who believe in him. It is the assurance of access to God the Father himself through Jesus Christ his Son, established as the Son of God by resurrection from the dead, and declared by God himself to be Lord of all things, occupying the position of power and authority at the right hand of God himself. This is what the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews was talking about when he said, "Jesus made for a little time lower than the angels because of his suffering and death, we see crowned with honor and glory, in order that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting for him, because of whom are all things and through whom are all things, to bring many sons to glory by making the commander-in-chief of their salvation perfect through suffering. He, the one who makes holy, and those who are made holy, are all of one piece. It is for that reason that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call them brothers." What is Jesus up to now? He is waiting, as a woman waits for company to arrive. She's not just waiting around for something to happen. She's bustling about, actively getting ready. What is Jesus up to now? He's busy getting ready. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he told his disciples. Jesus Christ gave those disciples a job to do before they would see him again. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, he told them. Now you go and make disciples of all nations. His people have been busy ever since that time, knowing they have a job to do because he is up to something. His spirit is at work in the world, bringing people around with the good news of what he did in his death and resurrection. He atoned for the sins of the world, and he earned his Father's forgiveness for the whole world. His spirit roams the world to get people to see how important it is that they put their confidence in him and receive for themselves the forgiveness God gives. That forgiveness is life, his life. And that life of his is the light of the world. It shines in a dark place until the day dawns, and the day star arises one day in our hearts. It was by the grace of God that he tasted death for every man. It was God's good heart that put his son to this terrible test, which he withstood very well. In fact, he came through perfectly. He did everything as his father wanted him to do it. Because of that, his father declared him commander-in-chief and lord of everything. Whether you're talking about things on earth or things in heaven, it was by suffering that God chose to make the savior of the world, the champion of our salvation, perfect in his own right and able to give his perfection to others as a gift of faith. In the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus Christ instructed his disciples. He prepared them for what they were to do when he would no longer be visibly with them. Finally, his residence on earth was finished. It was finished on earth, but ready to begin again in the realm of glory. The days when by the grace of God he suffered were over. The days of his glory were restored. He led his disciples to the Mount of Olives just outside the city of Jerusalem. After one final conversation, a stupendous event took place, defying all the laws of nature and of gravity. With arms lifted in blessing, he rose from them higher and higher until finally he passed out of sight through a cloud layer and into his Father's house. His disciples stood there watching, even staring up into the heavens. Two men in white garments stood by them and said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you will come in exactly the same way as you've seen him go into heaven." We do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, and by God's grace tasted death for everyone. He is the VIP, the very important person of all VIPs. I don't know what kind of an escort was provided for him as he was taken from the side of his disciples, but I can imagine it was like a tremendous homecoming. The drums beat and the cymbals crashed. There was rejoicing everywhere. The angels sang, "He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! He is Lord!" A great chorus in the middle of the Messiah by George Frederick Handel puts these words to glorious music right here on earth. "And he shall reign forever and ever." The words fall back upon one another and come out even more resplendent. "He shall reign. He shall reign. He shall reign forever and ever." Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But he's not sitting there doing nothing. He told his disciples, "Remember, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age in which you preach the gospel to people everywhere." It is hard to imagine. It's hard to believe. It's hard to understand how anyone can be there and here at the same time. When you think about it, however, it's not so hard to understand. I'm standing here in St. Louis making this broadcast. By the miracle of radio, I'm with you right now in your room or in your car or in your truck or on the beach or wherever you are at the moment. So long as you keep this receiver on, tuned to this station, I'll be with you. It won't make all that much difference to you that I am with you or not. It will make a lot of difference to you whether Jesus Christ is with you or not. In a way more miraculous than radio, in his word, Jesus Christ is present with you right now, knocking on your door. He wants to come in and live with you. He lives with you when you live with him by faith in him. He died that you might live in this way. That's life, to have Jesus Christ at your side with all his power and all his grace. I know that Jesus Christ is here as well as there. I know it by faith. This is not something I made up. It is the word of God, and I believe it. It is the word of Christ, and I believe him. A few years ago, Buckminster Fuller wrote an article about radio signals. He said there are at least 200,000 radio signals in every room. The human brain is a fantastic set, capable of picking up all kinds of vibrations. It's pretty hard to demonstrate so that people can see it, but it is true. Jesus Christ is the great vibration of God throughout the world. The demonstration of his power and the offer of his grace with forgiveness and life from his own hand, that's Jesus Christ. He's right there with you. His spirit is bringing to you at this moment the vibrations of radio and the good news of God himself. Yuri Gagarin, the first Soviet astronaut, made a remark after his return from his journey into outer space. He said he saw absolutely no trace of God anywhere. The remark was made before the development of the ability to walk in space outside the spacecraft. Someone might have told him at the time all he needed to meet God very soon was to step out of that spacecraft of his. He would have found out right there what he's going to find out one day anyway, that the power of God cannot be thwarted. He will have his way, no matter what. He always has the last word. The last word of God to our world is a word of grace. It is his ultimate word to the world in his Son, Jesus Christ, who when he had by himself purged our sins, was set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. People can ridicule that, but it won't do them any good. He will still be Lord, and he will always be Lord. The grace of God comes to us in Jesus Christ. St. John said, whoever sins knows that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. What John is saying is that we have someone who talks for us, an attorney who pleads our cause. He's a good friend to have around and a great one to trust. In that trust is salvation. He can do what he wants to do. He can save, and he wants to be your savior. He wants your trust and your acceptance of his forgiveness. He wants to give you life. We have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Church of Jesus Christ has a job to do. For that job, it has received the power of his Spirit to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the Church as well as the Lord of the world. His grace and glory must be proclaimed. What is Jesus up to now? He is proclaiming the grace and glory of God through ordinary people, or at least mostly through ordinary people like ourselves, that other people throughout the world may come to know the greatest and most stupendous thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. Jesus Christ died and rose again. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And Jesus Christ is Lord. When disaster occurs, people pray. It's a strange thing that most people pray only when disaster occurs. Then it is brought home to them that there is no other help. Why not have it come home to you right now? There is no other help but his help. Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he is Lord, there's good reason to pray. Not just for the extraordinary, but for the ordinary. Not just in the bad times, but in the good times. Not just to petition him, but to praise him. Jesus Christ, for a time made like us, a little lower than the angels, we see crowned with glory and honor. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. And now, by the grace of God, and also by his glory, all things have been put under his feet. it pleased God that he should be the one by whom sons and daughters come into his family and into glory. For that, God made the champion of our salvation, our commander-in-chief, perfect, as he did, through sufferings. Jesus Christ and you belong together. Come together in faith and love. Also come together with him in prayer. You have access to God the Father, your Father and his, by just picking up the telephone of prayer and talking to him without even waiting for a connection. The connection is already there. It is always there. It is Jesus Christ himself. Did you ever stop to think what a tremendous privilege it is to pray in this way, to talk to God and to listen to God as he talks to you? He talks to you in his word, which is an open book. He listens to you on the line he has established because of his son, Jesus Christ. The Father loves his son, and he loves those who come to him in the name of his son. What is Jesus up to now? Keeping the lines open that he established by his death and resurrection. He's reaching out and drawing people to the heart of his Father. He gives them faith in order that they may live in hope and in love. It is real love, not just a sham. Let's see it in the lives of people. There's grace and glory in the lives of people who love God. If anyone says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar, of course. By this we know that we love God and have passed from death to life. If we love the brothers and sisters, by this we know that we are sons and daughters meant for glory under the leadership of the commander-in-chief of our salvation, that we love one another. What is Jesus up to now? He's bringing healing to the world, both inside and outside. The inside kind of healing may be more important than the outside kind. It is the stuff of which real life is made, banishing hatred, envy, selfishness, everything by which we hurt ourselves and others. Jesus Christ is actively planting in the hearts of people the seeds of peace and helping those plants to grow in his kindness and forgiveness, so that they're not just good-looking, but good-doing. Christ is doing what he is up to all the time, erasing the piety of the world built around its pride and replacing it with genuine good that overcomes evil, needing no support except faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. People live and die. Many have lost hope. Life is so grim that it appears worthless. God did not send his son into the world to dramatize death. He did not even come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The blood-soaked world is a grim reminder that death is only a step or a breath away. It is his domain nevertheless. He died here, and he lives here. Let him take up residence in your heart, my friend. And by faith, let him fill your heart with love. Let him forgive you and give you life. Let Christ be Lord. He calls you brother and sister, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen.